Okay, so welcome everyone, those I know and those I don't know. So what I want to talk about is, since the theme of the day is families, and specifically families in the greater scheme of Jewish education, so I think a very, very important message that we all could use, is about second chances. So I want to explain what I mean by second chances. So there's second chances, and we speak about them usually in our society. We refer to the ability after being discouraged or finding challenges to be resilient, to still continue moving on, because we live in a disposable society, a society that is that disposes of everything that gives them trouble. Your phone doesn't work, throw it out, you get a new one. Your car doesn't work, throw it out, you get a new one. You don't like your house, so you sell it and you get a new one. We don't really live in a society where there's a lot of commitment to really trying at things that might be difficult. And it's very important to remember that when it comes to families and when it comes to education and raising children, so one of the most important messages one can give a child, or one most important messages one can give to their family, is the concept of resilience, and that there's always second chances. And even when things might be difficult and a person finds that they are not able to succeed the first time, so right, as the old saying goes, try again. So I want to show you how this is something that's important for families. I want to show you that it's something that's important for students in school, and I want to show you something that's a general idea of the Torah and of Am Yisrael, of the Jewish nation. So we find this message specifically first in the very creation of the world, in Briyas HaOlam. So where do we find that? So how many days is the world created in? Right? 6 days, right? And then Hashem rested on the seventh day. So it's very fascinating. If you look through the Psukim in Bereishis, so what happens? Hashem creates things one after the other. And then after each day, what does he do? He evaluates what he did. And what does he say? Sometimes it's Tov, it's good. Sometimes he says Tov Ma'od, it's very good. Sometimes he doesn't seem to say it's good at all. And in fact, Chazal even tells us times he didn't like the things he made. So it's crazy. If you think about it, right? Hashem, who's Kol Yachol, he's able to do everything. And here at the very creation of the world, he's doing things. He's making the very fabric of the universe in this way that almost seems like trial and error. Trying things and then evaluating it. It almost sounds human, like a person does something. So all the Mefarshim ask the same question. How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in that way? How come he created the world step by step and reevaluated every time he created something? So the Mefarshim explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving us a message in doing so. The Torah, the Chazal tells, Dibra Torah B'lashon B'nei Adam. The Torah speaks in our language in order to teach us something. So the Chazal, so the Mefarshim say, the reason Hashem created him that way was to teach us that the world is built on trial and error. The world is built on constant second chances. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us that the way the world works is you don't just do things like that. You try. You evaluate it, and sometimes you don't like the way things turn out. But what do you do after that? You don't just destroy the world. You try again. You try again, and you try again, and you try again, until you get to the point where you're satisfied with it. And that's not something that's bidyeva. That's not something to be discouraging. That's something that is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended the world to be. That's why Chazal tell us that tshuva, repentance, was created nivreis kodem ha'olam. Tshuva was created before Hashem created the world. How come? Because that concept of tshuva, of having a second chance, is built into the very fabric of the world before it was even created. Because that's the entire message, the entire nature of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world, is that there should be an ability for people to recognize there's always a second chance. There's always a reason to be resilient and try again even when something's not perfect. And I was once giving this this message over to a group of post-college students and post-yeshiva students, and it's very hard for them to wrap their heads around the fact that it's not something to feel bad about, right? They thought, if you mess up the first time, so whatever, then you're not so great, and okay, you have to try again, but really it would be better to be successful the first time. So the Torah is telling us that's not the case. The ideal, the way human beings are made by God, the way the world is made, is that we try things and we're not successful always the first time. And we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to try, and that's mimicking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he created the world, of trying things first, evaluating it, and then retrying it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in that way to teach us that this is the ideal, the way the world is supposed to be. So, you know, you find that in everything. People mess up in business. People make mistakes in family life. People have struggled with, kids struggle in school. I'm a teacher at Hank High School. How many times I have a student that the first semester, the second semester, first quarter, second quarter, will have so much trouble doing well on a test, and they'll get discouraged. But with a little bit of encouragement, they not only can become a better student, but they can become an amazing student. Because once someone recognizes that there is this concept of a second chance, they can be resilient, things are not supposed to work out always the first time, then there is an encouragement. You're able to recognize this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants things. I'm able to become greater from it. So this is the basic idea that I want to show you exists in all these different areas of life. So I want to go one by one. So it exists in life, in family, and in the general nature of the Jewish people. So let's first talk about in life. So who's the number one person that is the quintessential example of second chances in the Gemara? Quintessential example. Huh? Okay, Cain as well. Cain is a very good example, right? Cain, Chazal tells, had a second chance. In the Gemara specifically, from the Tanaim. So Rabbi Akiva, right? How old is Rabbi Akiva when he became an observant Jew? He was 40. Before that, Chazal tells us, Rabbi Akiva himself says, before I found the Torah, you could have found me a Talmud Chacham, and I would have bitten him like a dog. So Rabbi Akiva says, he had such a hatred for anything that had to do with religion. It wasn't like Rabbi Akiva was just like whatever, a guy. And then he became Rabbi Akiva. He was a real, right? He was a Yeled Shovav, they say in Israel. He was someone just like on the streets. And he became Rabbi Akiva at 40 years old. And we find Rabbi Akiva's entire life, right? And all his messages were all for this point to teach the Jewish people, right, that you can start again. Rabbi Akiva himself, what ended up happening? The Gemara tells us he had all these students. What ended up happening to them? They all died. And the Gemara even says, V'haisa olam shamim, the world was empty. It was desolate and there was nothing. What did Rabbi Akiva do? So the Gemara says he went to teach 5 new students. Out of the 24,000 he had before, he taught 5 new ones. And who were those 5 new students? Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. All of the five people that are quoted in almost every single Mishnah throughout the Shas, who built the entire world of Torah learning. 5, after nothing. And in fact, the Gemara says, the Medrash says that Rabbi Akiva told his students, the new students, when he was at the end of his life, about how they throughout their life should always remember never to give up. Never ever to give up. And that was his last message to them. Because he was the one that represented the second chance. Anyone ever hear of a company called Clark's Botanicals? Clark's Botanicals. It's one of the biggest skin cream companies in the world. It's all over the world. So it's founded by this guy named Francesco Clark. So who's Francesco Clark? He's a young guy, only a little bit older than me. He's a very, very well-to-do man today. So what happened? When he went to college, he was from a very, well-respected family. His father was a very well-known doctor. He went to a very good university. He joined a fraternity in the university. And he came the first day of the fraternity, and he went to dive into the pool, and he hit his head when he got into the pool. He was paralyzed, 18 years old. And he went to the hospital, and he ended up being paralyzed from the neck down, almost fully, and went through a long period over a number of years of rehab. And he's a very resilient person. He was able to gain back some motion in his arms, but remains till this day paralyzed from the waist down, fully. So because of his illness, right, because of his injury, his sweat gland stopped working properly, and he started getting welts all over his body. And they gave him, his doctor, his father brought him to all the best dermatologists. No one could figure out what to give him to help him. So he was a creative person. So he had a lot of time in bed during the day. He started taking different types of creams that like were around his house that his father had had or that is from his sister's room. And he started mixing them all together, right? And when he would mix them all together, he started just like making these different concoctions. So one day he makes this one concoction and he started putting it on him. And he saw what happened. It's a true story. All those skin lesions, they started going away. So he gave it to his sister. His sister started giving it to all her friends. And then he gave it to his father. His father shared it with his colleagues and everything. Long story short, over a number of years, it became a huge company. And he started making these different types of creams. And the guy is like a multi-millionaire today. It's like a boutique line of skin creams. So I saw a video as part of my master's program in mental health counseling. I saw a video of him describing his life experience. And he says there, you know, if you would have asked me at the time of my injury, if I ever had hope for my life to be anything ever again, I would have said no. And he said, I'm happier now than I would have ever been before. I learned from this thing that the second chances are not something that are just, you know, b'dieved and something to discourage. It's something that really exists, right? This is exactly what the Torah is telling us by designing creation in the way it did. That there really is this concept to be resilient even when there's discouragement. That's what David HaMelech tells us in Tehillim. Teishev enosh adaka vatomer shuvu b'nei adam. A person, Kadosh Baruch Hu, waits for a person until they're fully, until their last days of their life and still says, come back to me. The second chances, that's why David HaMelech proclaims that. The idea of being resilient, having an ability to make a change, and having that be a good thing and something that's empowering, remains till the very end. We have a holiday. We have a holiday that is all about second chances. What's that holiday? Shavuot. Why? Why Shavuot? Oh, right, so the second and first luchos, absolutely, right? Second and first luchos is one of the quintessential examples of a second chances, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, it's good you broke the first luchos, meaning it almost sounds like he wanted there not to be the perfect first luchos, but the second one. But we have another one with actually the number two in it, second. Right, Pesach Sheni, right? So what's Pesach Sheni? So Pesach Sheni is all about second chances. What happened? So the Torah tells us that in the desert, when they were going to give the carbon Pesach, so there were a number of people that were Tamei Meis. They were impure, and they were not therefore able to bring the carbon Pesach at its proper time. So they went to Moshe, and they said to Moshe, it's not fair. We're unable, because we're Tamei, we're impure, to bring the carbon. We should still have a chance. So Moshe goes to Hashem, and he says, listen, they have a good point. So Hashem says, okay, I'm going to make another holiday, called Pesach Sheni, second Pesach. And on that holiday, even though it's not Pesach, they can bring their Korban Pesach that day. So how come? And Yom Kippur Katan also, right? Yom Kippur Katan does the same thing. Right? And so these people, though, specifically, right? Hashem made them a chance. So how come they were Tamei Meis? What were they impure from? It was right after Yitzhak Mitzrayim, right after they had gotten out of Egypt, right? How come they were impure? What had happened? The Torah doesn't tell us anyone had passed away during that time. So, but that's that you still could bring. In other words, they were specifically Tamei Meis. They were as they come in contact with a dead body, huh? So the Jews didn't die then. Oh, Yosef, right? Yosef. So Chazal tell us, who are these people? These people were the ones that were carrying Atzmos Yosef, Yosef's bones. Fascinating. These people that went to Moshe to ask for another day to bring the korban were the ones that were carrying Atzmos Yosef. So who's Yosef? What was his life? His life was all second chances, right? What happened to Yosef? Yosef was born, he was the favorite child, and then everything was over. He went to Egypt. And then he got to Potiphar's house, and then he went to jail. And then, today is his yahrzeit. Okay. And his birth, okay, very good. It's perfect. Perfect for today. I didn't even realize. So, right, so Yosef was someone whose life was constantly second chances. So Chazal tell us it was in the zechus of Yosef, it was in the merit of Yosef, that these people were able to get a Pesach Sheni. Meaning, because Yosef's life was lived as one of being constant recognition, that you can be resilient and you can keep on going and make yourself better when things are difficult and constantly realize you have a second chance. So that is why the Jewish people, these people, were given the opportunity to bring a Korban Pesach on the next day. And it's incredible. You know, if anyone has ever been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and I think it's also in the one in the city, there is a picture of a Seder that Rabbi Herschel Schachter, not the one from YU Today, Rabbi J.J. Schachter's father, who was a chaplain, right? So there is a very famous picture of a Seder, right? And he's in Buchenwald, right after liberation, with all these people. So you know when that took place? So remember, I saw the first time, they took a picture on Pesach? So it wasn't on Pesach. You know what it was? Pesach Sheni. It was on Pesach Sheni. That Seder took, because liberation was after Pesach. And the people came to Herschel Schachter, and they said to him, we didn't get to have a Seder. So on Pesach Sheni, he made a Seder for them, right? On Pesach Sheni, he made a Seder for them, for those people, right? That's really what it means, right? To have second chances. So, in general, right, in life, all of these things, Rabbi Akiva, Yosef, the way the world is created is all there to represent us that there always are for students in school, for people in business, for all the challenges of life, one always looks to these examples to recognize that this is what the Torah wants from us. It wants us to recognize second chances are not something to be discouraged by. It's not like it's better to do well the first time. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to be. That's the ideal way things are supposed to be. So you find that in family also. Where did Yosef exercise most his belief in giving second chances? With his family, with his brothers, right? You can imagine, right, Chazal tell us that moment where Yosef revealed himself to his brothers and said, Ani Yosef, the Chazal said that is one of the most intense and difficult moments in world history. So Chazal tell us in the Gemara. As you can imagine, after all of those years, there they are standing there. These are the people that betrayed him, right? And in fact, the Gemara even tells us, the Gemara says that Yosef at the end, right? When the brothers are afraid that he's going to get back at them, so the Gemara says, so the Torah tells us that they went to Yosef and they said, Yaakov said you should forgive us. And Yaakov had never said that. So Chazal say, look how bad having a difficult relationship is. Because of the relationship that they soured with their brother, they caused for a lie to be written in the Torah. Right? It's the only place in the Chumash where a lie is written. They say, Yaakov said to forgive us, and he never said it. So there's a pasuk in the Torah that's a lie. So Chazal say, that's how terrible the situation was. So it was a very, very difficult situation. And nonetheless, Yosef HaTzadik, someone who learned that it meant to have second chances, he gave these other people a second chance too. He was willing to take them back into his life, even after all that. So that is, right, that is another tremendous message, especially for family, right? Sometimes in family, always, not sometimes. I know there's a psychologist that told me when they said that all families are the same, all families are different. How are they the same? They're all crazy. How are they different? They're crazy in different ways. Right? So all families always have conflict and always have things. That's a part. Again, that's the ideal. That's what they say. The altar of Kalmel was one of the great Bali Musar said. A home where you don't hear screams from sometimes is a home with a problem in it. Right? It's a normal thing of humans. That's why every relationship in the Torah, from Adam and Chava through all the Avos, right? There is constantly some kind of conflict. It's a normal thing. As the Netziv points out, the only relationship we don't find conflict is between Yitzchak and Rivka. Right, Avram and Sarah argue, and they fight with each other. Yaakov and Rachel argue, and they fight with each other. Pesukim tell us. And Yitzchak and Rivka, you don't find them. What happened with Yitzchak and Rivka? Right, Yitzchak and Rivka. Then Netziv points out, we never find them showing the same closeness that Avram and Sarah and Yaakov and Rachel have. And then Netziv points out that's why Rachel, when she first saw Yitzchak, covered her face. Batiskash, when she saw him, she got off the camel and she covered her face before meeting him. So Netziv says it was the beginning of their relationship where there was a barrier between them. Very interesting point. I mean, that this point that is made throughout the relationship in the Torah is because that's the ideal. There's supposed to be that real lively interaction between the two. So Yosef teaches us, right, that the concept of second chance is not just believing in it for oneself, but believing in it for others also. And when we model, when parents and grandparents model that for children, it's one of the most important things. When they teach, Dr. Pelkovitz is, you know, I'm sure many people know here, one of the great mental health experts in the universe. So he always, when I was in Smicha and we took his classes, he always said the most important thing to do at a Shabbos table is to teach your children perspective taking. Teach them, even when they don't like something, how does the other person see it? Because they, remember he said that, so you're going to teach them how to be a better spouse, how to be a better parent, how to have a good relationship with their siblings. Because when you're able to understand people are different, and you get in fights sometimes, and you have conflict, and you misunderstand each other, that having the concept of second chances, right, is always a very important thing. So even in family life, right, it's extremely important to be able to teach it. And this concept of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Bria made it specifically in that way. Adam and Chava, right, from the time of the Bria, when they had this tremendous misunderstanding that caused the sin, so they stayed together afterwards, right? They gave each other a second chance, right? This concept of second chances goes even into that area of family. And we find it as well, not just in general in life and all the different challenges, find not just in family, but on a national level too, right? Our generation is the generation of a second chance. How many Jews were there in the world, according to the census, before the Holocaust? We don't know. We got 18 million Jews. 18 million. How many are today? 12 million. Right? The numbers, again, the census is always a little bit difficult to be accurate, but this generation, there was a time in Jewish history, and my grandfather used to say that all the time, where people really thought there would be no more Jews. There would be no more Judaism in the world. And this generation that we live in, right, this is the generation of the second chance. This is the resilient generation where we have this job to rebirth Judaism. I try to tell my kids in class that all the time. It's something I feel, right, we don't underscore enough sometimes with the younger generation who we take it for granted, even me who grew up, you know, around Holocaust survivors, but those who who the Holocaust is not real for anymore, forget the fact that this generation is the generation that is still in the process of giving birth once more to the Jewish religion that was lost during the war. So this entire generation is really the generation of Rabbi Akiva. After destruction, after losing everything, and trying to give birth again. They say that when Rav Aryeh Levine, one of the great tzaddikim of Yerushalayim, after the Six-Day War, on Shavuos, which was about a week later, after they recaptured the Kotel, he went for the first time to the Kotel on Shavuos. And Rav Sharya Shavkon, who was the chief rabbi of Haifa for many, many, many years, just passed away last year, walked with him there. And in one of his svarim, he writes up what the experience was like accompanying a very elderly Aryeh Levin to the Kotel. And he says, they're on the way to the Kotel. And he said, Aryeh Levin was like shaking with emotion. And he stopped at a certain point, and he turns to this Sharya Shavkon, who was then a young man, and he says to him, you know, my whole life I wondered what it meant when we say in Tehillim, "B'shuv Hashem es shivas Tzion," when Hashem will return the Jewish people, "Hayinu kecholmim," we were like dreamers. We'll be like dreamers. And Aryeh Levin said to him, "What happens in a dream? In a dream, you see whole periods of time and huge amounts of things and people who existed at different times all together at once. Or you can have a dream and different people that never met each other can be in the dream at the same time. That's the essence of a dream." So Aryeh Levin says, "Look who's here with us." Everyone who was in the war, everyone who was lost in the war, everyone who fought in the War of Independence, everyone from this, they're all here from all of Jewish history coming with us to the Kotel now. He says, that's what it meant when we say, Hayinu Kecholmim. He says, that for the first time I feel it. Right? So that's, our generation is the generation of dreamers, right? We have this job to bring back to the world all these things, right, that existed before. That's what even how the Mefarshim explain in Shir HaMaalos, the next psukim, Hazorim Bedima Berina Yiktzoru. Those who seed with tears, berina yiktzoru, they will harvest with joy, right? Because when we recognize how much work went into things, and we recognize how everything's connected, so the harvest is not a new thing, the harvest is a second chance. The harvest is we take joy in the fact that now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after all the seeding was done over all those years, gives us another chance in this generation. So that's what this generation is really about. In addition to having on the personal level of family and of children and of school, right? We have it also on a complete national level. They say that the Sadeger Rebbe, who was one of the great Hasidic masters before the war in Poland, so there still is if you go to either B'nai Brak. There's a big Sadeger community. So the Sadeger before the war was a very, very big leader. A lot of Hasidim in Europe. And he stayed with his Hasidim, didn't leave before the war. And when the Nazis came through Poland, so they took them all out to the street. And they had the Hasidim stand in a circle. And they knew he was the Nazis very much liked to embarrass the people they thought were the famous rabbis. And they gave him a broom. And they asked him to go in the street and sweep the streets in front of the Hasidim. So he went, and they saw the Hasidim. So when he was going, he was mumbling to himself while he was sweeping. And he came back to them, and they handed him a Nazi flag. And they said, "Go around the streets and wave the flag for us." And he went around. They saw still while he's waving the Nazi flag, he was mumbling. So afterwards, when they took him back and they rounded them all up together, the Hasidim asked him, "What were you saying to yourself?" So the Sadeger Rebbe said, "When they gave me the broom, I said, 'Ribono Shel Olam, here I am in the streets of Poland, and I'm sweeping the streets of our enemies. Bring me to the land of Israel, and I'm going to sweep your streets there.' And when they gave me the flag, I said, 'Here I am waving the flags of our enemy in the land of our enemies. Bring me to the land of Israel, and I'll wave your flag in your streets.'" So what happened? The Sadeger Rebbe actually survived the war. That's why there's such a big community in Israel. Reestablished it in Tel Aviv first. And every year at the Yom HaTzmaut Parade, it's true, every year at the Yom HaTzmaut Parade in Tel Aviv, the Sadeger Rebbe used to go out with a strimel, and he would sweep the streets, and he would wave the Israeli flag, right, to fulfill that. So this is the whole essence of our generation. Now, I say to my kids a lot of times in class, every single one of you is a walking miracle. Every single one of you is a walking second chance. The fact that you exist shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants people to have second chances, because if he didn't, you would not be here. Right? That is the way we have today, right? That's one of the most important things. So just finally, who creates second chances? Right? Who gives second chances? So sometimes we wait in life for second chances to be handed to us. But if we look in the Torah Pesach Sheni, who's the one that initiated the ability to have a Pesach Sheni, to give the Karban Pesach? It was the Jewish people. They went to Moshe and they said, Hashem didn't make a Pesach Sheni say, well, the people who can't give on this day, so they can give later. The people went to Moshe and they said, come on, give us a second chance to do something. And then Hashem agreed. So that's a very, very big mussar, right? The people really responsible for second chances is us, right? We create the second chances by having the courage and the goal, really, to say, even though things are not working out, even though it seems I don't have hope, I'm going to make for myself a second chance. Okay, like how many Holocaust survivors have said to me, a Yid always has a brera. A Yid always has a choice to do something, right? That when a Jew recognizes that, so then they're able, even when it seems like there shouldn't be a second chance, to be able to do so. Who's the one for the second Beis HaMikdash that went up to Yerushalayim? Did Hashem say to the Jewish people, it's time to go and build the second Beis HaMikdash? Never said that. Ezra HaSofer, who was the leader of the Jewish people, said, it's time to go. Let's go and do it. Right? And if you look through Chazal, they say the third Gula will come the same way. Right? That the Jewish people will initiate it and say it's time to go up, because that's really what it is. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we believe in the concept of second chances, of being resilient, of having the ability to do things that seem impossible, that's when He opens us and opens up to us and gives us the chance to do so. So, you know, I think in general, this message is such an important message, it's a crucial message. When parents model this for children and show them that you can be resilient, that you have the ability to do what seems impossible to you, you shouldn't be discouraged, that it's not that there's something wrong with you, that you weren't successful the first time, you didn't do well in class, you didn't get into the school you wanted, but that this is the way it's supposed to be, and you can make yourself even greater now. So that's something that stays with the person throughout life. When we model it for them, we learn it better ourselves too. We can create better relationships for ourselves. We can be better parents, better grandparents. We can be better people as a result. When a Jew walks around and they recognize that they're a part of a nation that's built on second chances, that's built on the ability to be resilient, so then really anything's possible. I appreciate you all for coming and listening. Thank you.